blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, and what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Here. First off, today is the Sanctity of Human Life Day. Also, DJ and Olivia's baby shower will be today at 3 p.m. Tonight, the small group study on the real heaven by Chip Ingram will be meeting. There'll be a deacons meeting tomorrow at 7 p.m. Next Sunday, January 26th, potluck and church business meeting here at 6 p.m. Also, a reminder, copies of your annual church contributions are available on the counter at the gym entrance if you're looking for those. Also, something for the youth. If you have a senior or someone that's planning on graduating from college or high school this year, please give me or Erica just so we can start prepping for our banquet type deal we do for the seniors. So if you have a senior or know someone we need to recognize this year, please let us know. The sooner the better. That way we can get it all prepared for them. And I believe that's it. Will y'all pray with me? God, I pray. Just thank you for this day. God, I pray you speak to us this morning, God, in a way we need to hear. God, I pray just thank you for all the blessings you give us. Pray you watch and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged
blood and got saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. I'm who I want to go. I've received nothing but goodness. Tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. The love of God gave me His pardon. The love of God won't let me stay the same. The love of God calls me up higher. His will is stronger. That's why I got saved. Carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now. Lay it down. I know that I need you. I run to the Father, fall into grace. Done with the high, reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, oh. You saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. I that kind of love. Warm this morning, isn't it? I hope you'll make yourself at home in our midst. If this is your first time visiting us, there's a blue envelope in the pew in front of you that we'd like for you to fill out and put in the offering plate as it comes by. We appreciate you doing that. One of our men will come down and lead us in prayer.
Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for such a wonderful day, and we ask that you be with us as we listen to your word this morning and be with Brother Wade as he gives it to us. And Lord, we just ask that you bless us as we go on through life. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
time for Children's Church. Brother Wade.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I didn't know if we'd be down on numbers this morning with people being ill and the cold weather and everything. I'm glad to see we look unharmed from that. I'm glad to see everybody was able to make it out. I know that we do still have a lot of people in the community and around ill and need to be praying for those folks. You know, sometimes things will happen and you just kind of question what you've been taught. And it's come to my attention that the earth is, 70% of the earth's surface is covered with uncarbonated water. So technically, it's flat. So, now I got to rethink everything, right? Because now I'm a flat earther. So, all right. In more seriousness, I've been thinking a lot about how we're coming up, and well, you know, you look at this weather we've had, and it's been cold, and it's been miserable, and I don't think anybody enjoys this kind of cold. Some of us might enjoy cooler weather, but we don't always enjoy the really cold weather. And look at this time of year and what goes on, and it seems like the people that's made it through winter that maybe were ill or whatever, they struggle to get through the next few weeks. And, I mean, I personally know three people who's passed away in the last couple of weeks. And we, as we walk into February, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but February is like, it's noted for being a very depressing month. It's the, out of all the months, it's the most depressing month. And I think a lot of that has to do with coming out of winter, but not yet being out of winter. And you know, there's still everything is, well, so this picture that I've got here for Good Morning, oh, no, go back. So I was looking for a good winter, Good Morning picture, and there are no good pictures for Good Morning, good pictures. And I also noticed that my words are not the right color on these slides because that says Good Morning, you just can't see it. And because it's down below, I think. But anyway, they all have leaves and they all have color, and nobody wants to take a picture of the dead trees, right? Or the dead-looking trees. You know, they're not really dead; they're just dormant, and nobody takes pictures of those. So it's really hard to find anything that's not fall, spring, or summer, or snow. That we do like to take snow pictures because that's pretty. But so that's just kind of the point of the month and as we're coming in, and I'm leading somewhere here. This is another long introduction. But how many of y'all, you know, we wake up, we eat breakfast, we get ready, we go to work, we work all day, we come home, watch a little TV, we go to bed so that we can get up and go to work and repeat the last day, right? Pretty much that's kind of the way we do every day. And maybe even we get up and we eat the exact same breakfast. I ate the same breakfast for, I think, 3 years in a row. Pretty much every morning that I went to work, I ate the exact same breakfast and did the exact same thing. And you know, I don't know if anybody else is like that, but we get into, maybe we'll change routines every now and again, but it's the same routine over and over. And we kind of get stuck in our ruts. Anybody relating to that other than me? You know, maybe you're like, no, I ate something different this morning, but that's probably your Sunday morning breakfast, right? You know, growing up, Sunday morning was waffles. It was, I mean, every Sunday morning I needed waffles, and if I didn't get waffles, it ruined Sunday morning, right? You know, it just, we have our same routines day in and day out, or week to week. And, you know, I think that, you know, like I say, you could be a little bit different. Everybody's got a little bit different, but our basic with some limited tolerances are there. We're pretty much the same, and we're consistent, and we do the same routine over and over. And I think sometimes this asks us to ask the question, is this really all there is to life? You know, is this really all there is doing the same thing I do every day? And I know that sounds a little depressing, right? Because we can get to that point and we can say, you know, that's what the words there that you can't read is, you know, maybe we even look like that, right? You know, is this all there is to life? And I hope all my scripture is not black. Is it all black? Is there any way to convert it to not being black? Or is that just... I had some computer troubles this morning, and now I'm still having computer troubles, I guess, because it all went the wrong color on me. But anyway, so we have this same thing over and over, and we ask that question. And that brings me to, this is not our scripture this morning, our whole scripture, but John 10:10 says, yeah, it is black and it's small. My slides may be worthless this morning. Sorry about that. I'll have to make sure that when I convert them over next time, I get it right. So I'm going to be flipping to my Bible here to get to my scriptures. So John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So I'm going to be talking in the next few weeks about this scripture, essentially, about the contents of this scripture, of why Jesus came. You know, what do we let Satan come and steal and kill and destroy from our lives? Do we let him do those things? Do we let him come and destroy things in our lives, destroy our joy, destroy our happiness, kill our dreams, you know, destroy those things around us? And Jesus says, "I come so that you can have life and have it to the full," right? Or "have it abundantly" might be your version if you have today. And as believers, I think we're called to have life to the full. We're called to have joy in abundance. And if I get up here and I'm really depressed about being a Christian, that's not going to be a very persuasive, is it? That, hey, what I have you need. Or, hey, things are going great in my life. But if I have joy, if we look at somebody and they're happy and they're joyful and they're living life to the full, we say, hey, what are they doing different than what I'm doing if I don't have life to the full? And that draws people to that type of life, right? We're all drawn to charismatic people. Even if they're maybe not the best person in the world, it's like, well, there's just something about their energy that we want to draw near to that person. And I believe maybe we're not supposed to, you know, maybe God's not saying we all have to be extroverts and we all have to be charismatic and go around with a fake smile on our face, but we should have joy. And we should be living life to the full. And if you're a believer in Christ and you're not living life to the full, you're doing it wrong. Amen? You know, you shouldn't be sad about it, because I think we sang a song a while ago there that, "Do I need anything more than Jesus?" Wasn't that the gist of it? Right? Was that, what was the exact words? Anyway, I won't put you on the spot. It was the gist of it, right? Do I need anything more than Jesus? And we should be living that in our lives. You know, so like I said, that's where we're kind of going to talk about for the next few weeks. And, you know, is this all there is to life? You know, I think if we don't have that type of joy, if we're not living life to the full, it allows us to get stuck in a routine. We get stuck doing the same thing. We don't have any risk. We don't have any new experiences. I think it makes us unproductive and apathetic. You know, the teacher got up in front of the class one time and said, "Hey, can anybody give me the definition of the word apathetic?" And finally, a boy in the back raised his hand and said, "Teacher, none of us really care about the definition of that word." You know, we can become uncaring and apathetic if we don't have life to the full, because things become monotonous. And I think it's easy to get stuck in ruts because I like my ruts. You know, most of us are going to go work tomorrow and we're going to do the same thing. And we don't really want a curveball. We want to do the same thing. We want it to go nice and smooth, and we just want to get through the day, right? We don't want a disruptor or a changer. And I'm going to read Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 through 25. Hey, it worked. Thank you. If everybody stand with me. And he says there, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." And at once they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. And Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them, large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Y'all join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. We're just thankful to be able to come to your house today. We pray for those that aren't here for whatever reason, those affected by sickness. Lord, we pray for those that are affected by the fires and by storms, Lord, that's going on throughout the country. And we just ask you to be with them. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be seated. So these guys were fishermen, and they did what fishermen did in those days. You know, they fished with nets instead of fishing poles, but I think the principle's kind of the same. You know, and whenever I go out fishing, what am I doing? I'm cast and retrieve. And Jimmy Houston tells me that I'm supposed to change it up every 10 times if I don't catch anything, right? And I have a hard time remembering that I have to change that up. I have to change my speed up. I have to change the way I work my worm or whatever if I'm not catching anything, because it's real easy just to get into the cast and retrieve at the same speed and spend an hour or two doing that. And these guys, they were casting the nets and retrieving the nets. And it's a very monotonous job, or maybe that's the wrong word. But anyway, it's, I would say, fairly boring until you catch something. And there's probably a lot more casting and retrieving with net fishing, the same it is with pole fishing, I would think. I've never net fished, especially if there's any game wardens in here. No, seriously, I've never fished with a net in any way. I wouldn't know how. But they had been fishing, and they were preparing their nets for another day of doing the same thing they did that day. Right? They knew tomorrow we're going to go out probably to a similar spot, and we're going to do the same thing all day that we did today. And then something surprising happened, and Jesus came by and said, "Follow me." And they left, and they followed him. Now, that's going to change everything. They left their father, they left their nets, they left their business, they left everything and said, "I'm willing to follow. I'm willing to go with you." You know, they had this family business. I would think that by having this business, they're probably from things I've studied, they're probably considered upper to middle class because they had a means and a business. They owned the boats. They had responsibilities. They had obligations. They had expectations. And Jesus said, leave it all behind. They even had plans, I would say. They had their life figured out. They knew where they were going. They knew what they were going to do. And Jesus said, drop it all and follow me. And to me, that's probably the most surprising thing that could have happened, is that they said, okay. And they dropped it and they went. Why did they do that? Why do we drop things sometimes and say, Lord, you said to do it, I'm going to follow you? They did it the same reason we do it, because we're called. We're called to do that. Jesus called them to follow him. He said to them, follow me and I'll change your life. Now, that's not exactly the words he said, but that was the promise he was making. You know, I think that that we're all people of routine, like I talked about earlier, and I was, you know, how many of us, if you don't think that you're a person of routine, how many of y'all are here this morning sitting in a different spot than you did last time and the time before, right? I did notice that Mike and Debbie were out of place, so, and they didn't even know there was going to be a quiz on it. You know, but most of us, we're sitting in the same place, right? We're doing the same thing because we are people of routine. You know, years ago, I joined an organization, and I'll throw the name of the organization out because it's not bad. So I joined the Christian Motorcycle Association years ago, and that's a non-denominational organization. It's definitely not Southern Baptist only at all, by any means. I would say Southern Baptists probably have the minority of the footprint at the time I was in it. And we had a pretty good group of people, and we were meeting, and I was just kind of a hang-around member. I had joined and paid my dues, but I wasn't involved real deep yet. And I had just surrendered into the ministry. Now, does everybody know what I mean by that? When I say I had surrendered in the ministry, so if you don't, I'll just tell you what it meant. It meant that I knew the Lord was calling me to preach, and I had made that commitment. I had said, Lord, I will do it. And we also call it surrendered into the ministry, and maybe I already used that word, but surrender is the right word, because you're surrendering your will to say, Lord, I'm going to do what you call me to do. And I went down to this meeting, and I may have shared this with y'all before, but I went to this meeting, and during testimonial times, whatever, I was really, really excited, and I shared that with everybody. And everybody looked at each other like I was, what's a nice word, like I was just dumb. And I thought, well, what's kind of off? And finally somebody said, well, we're all called to the ministry. And that changed my thinking, because they were a motorcycle ministry, right? They were a ministry doing things. And it made me realize that preachers aren't the only person called to the ministry. You know, we refer to it that way, and it means something in the terms that, but if you look at the words, we're all called into the ministry. We're all called to minister to our brothers and our sisters and those around. And just because I had surrendered to preach didn't make me any different than anybody else other than the job I was going to be doing. Like I said, it changed the way that I thought about ministry. Ephesians 4:1 says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You see, we're all given a different calling. We like to think, well, deacons are called and preachers are called and maybe some other positions that are called, you know. But we all are called in some way to some calling. Second Thessalonians 1:11 says, "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of His calling, and that by His power He may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith." Again, by His calling, that's calling us to do. You know, if God called you out of your routine this morning, would you do it? You know, we looked at the example here of the guys out fishing, and they were called to change up their routine. More so, they were called to change up their entire life. Would we do it if we were called just to change up our routine for tomorrow? For one day? Are we how stuck are we in the rut that we are? Maybe I should ask another question that's a dangerous question, depending on how you answer it, is how often are you asking the Lord, what are you calling me to do? Is that a scary thought sometimes, to say, Lord, are you calling me to do something different? I think it's easy for us to miss what the Lord calls us to do sometimes, because we have our plans, we have it, our lives sometimes planned out. We know where we're headed, we know what we're doing, and we're not looking at any other thing other than what I want and what I have planned. We think we know what's best for us, but we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen next week. We don't know what's going to happen a year from now. How can we know what's best for us if we don't have that information? You know, I think we fail to get more out of life because we want to know the whole plan. We want to know it all before we get involved in something. I'm real bad at thinking about doing something, but then I'm not sure how that's going to turn out. So then I kind of just let that go because of the unsurety of what's going to happen. You think that Peter would have been the Peter that was casting the net? Do you think he would have followed Christ that day if he knew that he was going to get up on the day of Pentecost and speak to thousands of people? How many of y'all would be scared to get up and preach to 1,000 people or speak to 1,000 people? Most of us in here, I think, would be, I have found that smaller groups tend to be scarier than large groups. But the idea of public speaking or speaking to 1,000 people, I think Peter would have said, no, you got the wrong guy. And I think Peter would have been right. I think if Peter would have said that, I think he would have been completely right, because the Peter that was casting the net that day, he wasn't the guy that got up and spoke to 1,000 people. Right? Because God prepares us for where He needs us to be. I think I had a slide here with an example of, you know, God prepares us for a more fulfilling life one step at a time. And when you look at that staircase, you know, you're not going to get to the top of that staircase without taking the steps, right? And it would be really hard to climb that hill probably without those steps. But He puts the steps there for us to take. And He calls us. He's not necessarily calling us to the end game. He's calling us to the next step. And He's preparing us for whatever the end game is going to be. If you notice here, none of them asked the Lord whenever He called them. None of them said, where are we going to end up? You know, they didn't ask Him for the plan. They just said, okay, Lord, You're calling me. I'm going to follow. I'm going to go where You're going. And they did it through their actions, because the first step to following and your calling is listening. And they listened and they heard Him. And notice that they followed Him immediately. You know, it's real easy to start saying, I'll pray about that. Lord, let me pray about that. Let me consider it. Let me mull that over for a little bit, right? What do we miss out on whenever we do that? What do we miss out on when we say, Lord, consider if that is the best plan. When we know that Christ is calling us to do something, that is the best plan. The moment that we know, that's the best time. Maybe this is a bad analogy, but my grandpa, he used to be a pretty good shot, and he would shoot with open sights. And whenever he would shoot, he would pull the gun up and shoot. And it was just about that quick. And I learned that if I would do that, I would shoot more accurate, because he knew that whenever he first got lined up and knew that it was there, that was as accurate as he was going to be. The longer he held, the more he'd start to sway, and the more he'd start to process, and the more he'd start to think, and he would get in the way than just pulling up and shooting. Now, maybe, like I said, maybe that's not the best example. But the more we start taking aim at where the Lord wants us to go, and the more we start thinking about getting in the way of where He wants us to be, when we know it's Him calling us, we don't need to think anymore. We just need to listen, and we need to follow, because we should have faith that that is the most that we need. He's got the best for us. You know, I know I've told you about times in my past where I knew the Lord was calling me to do something. I didn't know what would come of it, but He was calling me to do something, and I would say, Lord, I let me pray about that. And I know that those doors got closed. And in retrospect and thinking back, you know, and maybe we're not supposed to look back too much, but I know that whatever the Lord was calling me to do in those situations would have been better than the outcome that I ended up with. Because if He was calling me to it, it was for my betterment, it's for His betterment. It would have been a better outcome than what happens whenever I think about it. You know, in Luke 14, there's the parable of the great banquet, and the great banquet is out there, and they're inviting everybody to come to it, and everybody gives some lame excuses of not to come. And why they wouldn't, you know, one says, hey, I just bought some land, I got to go look at it. One says, I just bought some oxen, I got to go try it out. And then the other one's like, hey, I just got married and can't really come because of that. And like I said, they're all some lame excuses. And they missed out on going to this great banquet, right? Instead, they decided that they would all just stay home and probably do the same thing that they normally do. And I think about that also, and the point, whenever you're invited to go to do something like that, whenever you're called to go do something like that, you may not know what's going to happen, but whatever you're missing out on, you're missing out on opportunities. You're missing out on a chance to meet somebody or to share with somebody. And I wonder how many times we pass up on a great banquet or a great opportunity because we just would rather stay in our ruts. I'd rather stay where I'm at and stay with what I know than the unknown. You know, I think we can choose not to follow Christ when He calls us because we know what that holds. We know what it means if I don't follow, you know, if I don't take that chance, because I'm satisfied where I'm at. I'm content in a negative way where I'm at. I think we should all be content in where the Lord puts us, but we should make sure that we're where the Lord puts us. You know, and I believe that there's many of us, as we're living our lives and we're asking that question that I started with, is this all there is to life? Maybe you've asked that question, maybe you haven't. But if you've asked yourself that question, I think that means that you know you were meant for more than what you're doing. You were made to serve the Lord in a different way than you're doing. You were meant for something greater than where you're at. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'll admit that. But you know, we never get anywhere We never, any journey that we go, any trip we take, it always starts with that first step, right? We don't get anywhere if we don't take a first step. We can't get to the end, like that pathway a while ago. We can't get there without the first step. And if you're here this morning and you're saying, is this all there is to life? Have you taken the first step of saying, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. I know that you came and you died for my sins so that I could have life and have it to the full. If you're not here, if you can't say that this morning, that is the first step. That is the first step to having life and having it abundantly. I'm going to ask Matt to come up, sing a hymn invitation this morning. If you're here this morning and you can't say that, I'm going to ask you to come up and let's pray about that. Maybe something else is going on that's for lack of a better word, just sucking the joy out of your life. Maybe something needs to be prayed about in your life. Just come up, we'll pray about that as well. What are we singing this morning?
316.
316. Everybody stand.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam?
Baby shower this afternoon at is it 3? Is that right? I'm getting some 3. So remember that if you can. And then we've got our last Bible study or home study tonight with the heaven study, and we'll be looking towards what we're going to jump into next. And I'll get that all out to the leaders on that for the group leaders where we're headed next and get your thoughts on that. So. I think that's all for announcements. There is, I don't know that we, Lauren, I'm going to steal your thunder. So Wednesday night, we had a little girl get saved in Awanus. So she gave her life to the Lord, and we're looking at what that means for next steps for her and for baptism and stuff, and that'll be more to come. But I wanted to share that because that's a ministry maybe that we do as a church, and maybe not everybody was aware of that, but that is definitely something that we need to celebrate as a church and know about. So I'll give you more on that as decisions are made there. But, so wanted to make sure everybody's aware of that. All right, so in spirit of changing things up and getting out of your rut this morning, Mike, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?